Welcome to Taking the High Road, a special show dedicated to the trucking industry, specifically at the confluence of recruiting, retention, and compliance. In the fourth year as the host of the show, I bring over two decades of industry experience, both on the carrier side as well as the vendor side. And each week, I interview industry experts and thought leaders who bring their insight to the driver lifecycle as we discuss the industry's greatest challenges. I always appreciate your feedback, good or bad. Don't forget to leave a review and a rating. I'd also like to thank and highlight the show's valuable sponsors. Their dedication and commitment to the industry and to the show is greatly appreciated. If you're interested in being a sponsor of the show or joining me for an interview, please email jeremy@takingthehighroad.com. This week, I'm excited to be joined by one of my closest friends, a sponsor and regular guest of the show, Max Farrell, CEO of retention-focused company, WorkHound. Thank you for joining me again, Max.
Jeremy, what is going on? It's good to see you.
It's been a while. Love to catch up with you and hear what's going on in your world since you joined me last. Retention certainly remains the topic du jour while we fight through this slog of this challenging freight environment. So perhaps you can share some insights that WorkHound is seeing and hearing throughout the industry. We can talk about the benefits, you know, that to feedback and that might go beyond retention. And with buzzwords, we'll touch on that as well as, you know, you hear these buzzwords, AI, gamification, and perhaps you can share if there's a place for that in a feedback solution. And then lastly, we'll answer a question from a listener during our deeper dive segment. Does that all work for you?
Let's do it. Let's eat the elephant one bite at a time.
One bite at a time. And I'm going to start cerebral here.
Okay.
As I do at the top of this show, generally, I ask if there's a book recommendation, if there's anything that you've read maybe recently that that was impactful to you.
Certainly. So I think every time I come on here, I probably come with a new sci-fi recommendation. I know some leaders out there, they have the latest business book that inspired them. But at the end of the day, I just want to literally go to another world when I read. So the latest book I've read is that really grabbed me was Children of Memory by Adrian Tchaikovsky. It is a sci-fi book based about what happens to the people on Earth 10,000 years from now, and how does life evolve? Makes you think about space travel, time travel, all that in a much significantly different way. So, that's my recommendation.
Well, I appreciate that because very few, maybe you're the only guest that's ever come on the show and suggested sci-fi. Now, just full disclosure, when you said Children of the, I could have sworn you were going with Children of the Corn, but I don't know. Is that even a book or was that just a movie?
I don't know. I'm sure if anything, I'm sure they turned it into, what is it, the graphic novels. So,
well, I can tell you here's, this is for sure. Nobody would ever say that the movie was much better because I don't know. I think it's pretty much one of the worst movies ever made, at least.
And that is your opinion.
Well, I think it won an award for that actually. So, let's talk about you. So, you've grown since the last time you joined me on the show, and I don't mean that you've gained weight, but your family has grown, right? That's never. Oh, you look like you've grown. Do you mind sharing the fantastic news of the addition to Team Farrell?
Yeah. So, my wife Anna and I celebrated the birth of our son Leo a few months ago, and so we are now a team of three. And it has been a lot of fun to add not just the roles and responsibilities I have in work or the role of husband, but also role of dad. So it's a new challenge, but filled with a lot of joy. He's 3 months. He just turned 3 months old and growing quickly. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. I know we've talked about it for years, and it was time, and it's. It's a life changer, as you know, and you're seeing it now. And
just a little bit.
As you hear all the time, right? Oh, this is the best time. And then this next time that you're in, you know, it's 3 months from now. That's the best time. It's you just keep experiencing that. It's amazing. And then, I've got a 10, 11, and 12-year-old. And I remember when I had a newborn, a 1 and a 2-year-old. And that was quite the juggling act, but.
Boy, I bet.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So no pressure, but if you want to compete, you might need to start, you know, getting that.
I will continue to learn from you. I will do that. That's my
there you go. Well, congratulations. That was exciting news at the beginning of the year. And I knew that was something that was pretty significant, very significant since the last time you joined. Now, regarding WorkHound, your platform and expertise, you know, is helping carriers improve their driver retention through anonymous feedback and engagement. And I've talked to a lot of customers of yours and always get a lot of great feedback from them. And you also, WorkHound provides a lot of, you know, valuable insight and content related to retention and what drivers care about and that sort of thing, which we can get into momentarily. But we've been through a turbulent period the last few years, to say the least. How are companies leveraging WorkHound today? And has that changed at all since the onset of this current freight recession?
Yeah, it's been a fascinating, challenging, and I would say creative couple of years, because moments of challenge force creativity. And I'd say that's where some of the fun has come from, a more challenging environment where our goal as any business is to create value for the companies and partners that we serve. And so we've had to do exactly that. And so to your point, retention is always important, but for a lot of companies out there, it is less important right now. You've heard the term right-sizing mentioned amongst carriers more in the past year than you have heard in a while. You don't hear much about companies growing their fleet. It's about optimizing their fleet. So I would say the past year has been the year of efficiency. And so far, what I see in 2024 is that will continue. And so instead of companies thinking about how do we hold on to everyone, it's how do we hold on to the right people on our team and improve, because trucking is cyclical and it's not always bad. It's been bad a little longer than it usually is. But when it bounces back, you know, companies need to be prepared. And so I've seen two different profiles of companies. One is where they batten down the hatches and just say, you know, hey, we're going to weather the storm. And, you know, when things get good, we'll optimize accordingly then. And then others that say, you know, hey, this environment sucks. We are where we are, but we are going to lay the groundwork to be a better business on the other side of this. And so we've really enjoyed working with that second group of companies that are really rolling up their sleeves and say, how might we be better in this time? And so instead of saying, we want to use feedback just for retaining an individual person at risk of leaving, it's how do we use that feedback to improve our efficiency and get more miles per truck per day and ensure drivers are safer, or even use feedback for customer insights. It's in short, like, how do we win in the business? Because feedback never goes out of style. So that's, I'd say, the mindset shift that we've started to see with some of the most innovative companies out there right now.
Well, I think you just nailed the slogan for trucking for at least the next year or two. Trucking, it's not always bad. So embrace the suck. It's not, you know, it's okay.
I think they're saying that at the college job fairs they go to. It's like, how's business? It's like, it's not always bad.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Give it a shot. So you made a really good point, though. I mean, I think, interestingly, while there may be some carriers out there that maybe care less about retention when the market is in the cycle that it's in, I'm talking to a lot who I'm getting the sense that they're almost doubling down on that. Like, that's maybe their area of focus, certainly at the expense of recruiting, right? Because they're not trying to hire new people, with the exception of the luxury that they have today from a recruiting standpoint in terms of maybe upgrading or top grading their maybe bottom 5 or 10%, you know, who are just probably the ones that are pulling them down anyway when it comes to safety or customer, you know, satisfaction, customer service and that sort of thing. So from that perspective, I think I get the sense from conversations that I'm having that there are carriers actually doubling down on retention. And so, and kind of to your point, yeah, I'm guessing that companies should care about driver feedback, even in a down market. There's a lot of different ways to use it. Would you agree?
For sure. Yeah. The three C's, I would say, are that you have to control your costs, you take care of your customers and your culture. And so for a lot of companies, they've spent the past year really focused on cost control. Totally makes sense. Different environment, got to tighten up where you may have gotten sloppy in the past couple of years. And you also have to make sure you have customers, because revenue is key. And then the culture component is really important. That's where the retention emphasis comes in. And instead of just saying, how do we right size our fleet just to control our costs? Now it is, how do we keep the right people on our team? And to your point, we are seeing a lot more of that right now, which is really encouraging, because good times are bad. That's just build a good business 101.
So there are additional use cases, though, right, for that feedback outside of retention alone anyway. Can you share what some of those opportunities are, especially for those listening who, I guess, that's what I always think about when I think of getting feedback. It's always, it's retention, and it's all about retention, but there's more.
For sure. It's, again, feedback never goes out of style. It always comes down to what problem are we trying to solve and what are we looking to learn? And so what we find from the companies that we work with right now, they're looking to learn, how do we get more efficient in how we operate? And some of that may be, are our driver managers coached well to make sure that our drivers are as efficient as possible in operating? What are the things that we can do to provide training to our people so that they are maximizing the miles per truck per day and see where the inefficiencies? And that feedback can be really helpful, especially then partnering that in tandem with a training tool to be able to say, all right, we realize we're getting a lot of confusion on a really good pre-trip. So here's some of the things that we can do to go improve that. The other things we're seeing is for customer insights. Right now, during bid season, companies are doing anything they can to gain an edge. And so they're taking insights from their drivers to say, this is what our people are saying about working with you all as shippers, or here's the level of analysis that we get that your other carrier partners may not provide, and it gives them an edge during bids. I'd say another interesting thing that's happening right now, the hits keep coming, but the NLRB changed their rules recently, and it's made it much easier for unions to form. And so that has companies, especially on the dedicated side of transportation, more nervous, because these companies want to maintain a direct working relationship with their people. And so they're using a solution like WorkHound to figure out, are there hot spots in our business that we need to keep an eye on? Are there concerns in one location? Because if we have 100 locations, we can't send somebody to every one, but we can use this feedback to identify which five do we need to go prioritize first, and then ensure that our business is in as solid of a spot as possible.
Tons of sense. That makes a ton. And the unionization thing, I never would have thought of that before. And I think maybe I heard of this last year, and it might have been one of a customer that's leveraging that to protect themselves against that to begin with. I hope it's okay to even say this out loud. I don't even know what you can say or can't say in regards to unions, but it makes sense. And it's all about communication, right? It's open, transparent communication, and how much that just solves a world of challenges if you embrace it.
Absolutely. Whether a company has a union environment or not, we are there to support them, because at the end of the day, our goal is to give the workers a voice and give the companies the tools to do something about it and build a better workplace from it.
Yeah, I want to talk to the do something about it here in a second. But before I do, you put out a lot of really good content, a lot of really good feedback from some of the, in trend reports, the top five feedback themes and so on. Can you share, because there was a recent trend report. Can you share maybe some of what stood out to you in that latest top five report?
Yeah, so our top five themes for the past year, and actually I'll take a step back. So every year we take all the feedback we get from in trucking from across North America and aggregate it to see what is the pulse of the market. And I think it's a really interesting snapshot, because it's perspective of drivers versus perspective of the leaders at companies, and both are really valuable. And so this year, the top five themes in order of mentions were people, logistics, equipment, pay/compensation, and then praise, which was interesting, because last year praise was the number one theme, and then people was further down. And the last time that people was a top theme was around 2019. So in these moments where the environment's a bit more challenging, we've seen people rise up as a higher theme, which goes to show that it's still a people business. Like we get really focused on spreadsheets, optimization, and safety scores, but we can't lose sight of that. You know, the revenue center of this industry is people, and so it wasn't all negative. Like certainly, there's a lot of frustration around not knowing what a dispatcher's thinking or going to do next, and in the absence of clear information, people are really good at filling the void. But if things are going well, people are quick to praise when things are working out. So I'd say that was probably one of my biggest takeaways, is that it's still a people business. The people matter. And now's the time where you got to listen so that you can improve, because they're the ones that are going to be give you the advantage in the good times.
Well, and kind of to your point, getting feedback, right? Soliciting feedback, that's one thing. But what comes next is equally, if not more important. Would you agree? Because there's some action generally expected upon on the heels of getting that feedback, generally.
For sure. When we started the company, that was the most maddening thing I saw in the employee engagement landscape. There's all these tools out there to get feedback, but there wasn't a lot of emphasis on what do we do with it. And that's really the most critical component of creating a feedback loop. It's ensuring that we understand that data, be able to tell a story of what is that data is saying about our business, but also make our business better as a result of it. And I usually think about it in two different layers. So you have the grassroots layer, and then you have the strategic layer. And from a retention standpoint, capturing feedback and addressing issues proactively is really important at the grassroots level. Because in an industry like trucking, the straw can break the camel's back. Somebody can be happy on Tuesday, fed up on Wednesday, and quit by the end of the week. So you have to be proactive instead of reactive. So feedback can be really great at that level, but where companies win is when they start to identify micro issues that lead to a macro change. And that's where that strategic layer comes in. And leaders start to say, before they just go make a call based on a CFO's recommendation, they say, well, what are our people saying about this? Is this really a heartburn issue in our business based on the feedback that we're getting? And it really leads to more intelligent leadership conversations and decisions. And that's where you start to create the win and the force multiplier in just how a business operates, because they then have a culture of curiosity.
Are there any maybe like suggested best practices from a follow-up standpoint? Somebody that's getting that feedback, what are some maybe one or two suggestions that you can share that here's what you do in order, this is a good process, this is a good system to really enhance and improve that feedback loop. Anything you could recommend?
Yeah. It's all about creating habits. And so for us, we have a structure when we partner with companies to identify who is the dashboard manager that's engaging with the feedback, ensuring that there's follow-up and communication, clarifying if there needs to be communication, because one of the unique things about WordCount is that we're able to respond to every single piece of feedback. So we do things like two-way anonymous messaging where you can have a chat with somebody, even if you don't know who shared the comment, so that you can drill down on the issue. Where was it? Who was it? How do we remedy this? Because you don't always need to know who it is. You just need to know what the issue is to go fix it and tell them, hey, we got you. We heard you. That's really important. But then it's really important to create the habit at the leadership level to see this feedback on a regular basis. And the lightest weight way is it starts with a weekly email summary, just being able to see what is the flavor of our people this week? What are some of the comments coming in? What are the trends around those? And ideally, you dedicate 5-10 minutes of a leadership meeting to say, here's what we're hearing in our business. What are we doing about it? And that accountability, that regular reminder or gut punch sometimes is really helpful, because if you just hear something once, then you forget about it and it's just swept under the rug. But if you get that consistent message over time, you can either say one of two things. One is, man, we're tired of hearing the same thing. Or you can say, we're hearing the same thing because we hadn't fixed it. Maybe it's time to fix it.
Well, and then if you do acknowledge that you need to fix it, I think it's important to communicate that, right? That you hear it, you're fixing it, and or that you have fixed it. Because I think that's really valuable that they know that their feedback didn't fall on deaf ears.
For sure. That's one of the toughest things is if you do this work and don't tell anybody what you did, they're going to think you did nothing at all. So one of the things companies will use WordAccount for is to send out a broadcast message each week to close the feedback loop and say, here's what we did, here's what we're looking into, here's the miscommunications. I shared one on LinkedIn recently, but there's a company, BCB Transport, that has done an awesome job at sharing them, because what they do is they say, here's a specific piece of feedback we heard. Here's what we did about it. Here's another piece of feedback we heard. We're looking into this. Here's another one. This is a rumor. This is not true. Here's what's really going on in the business. But I love that they anchored it and like, this is the real thing that we got and our interpreted action from it. Because that only drives further participation, further trust. Again, you get that force multiplier from something like that.
Yeah, that's good feedback. Good steps. Good suggestions there. I would imagine that all of this behavior is going to improve the driver satisfaction, right? The satisfaction levels of employees or contractors. How should companies think about that? Is that something that's important in a feedback system?
It is, from the standpoint of the mindset of how do we get better. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have as leaders is we want the highest score possible. But then if we start to game that number, we're not really getting the honest answer of what is the state of our business. Like maybe just if you're an OTR carrier, maybe you're perpetually a 5.5 on the satisfaction score, and that's okay. At least you know where your baseline is. And so you understand if you dip to a five or that you got work to do. And if you got a six, hey, you address some issues. Now, how do we go address the next thing? But it may drop down back to a 5.5, and that's okay. Like being above baseline is good, but the only change.
How do we say it? Wait, it's got to be your bull. Fool me once. the only constant is change. What was that? Fool me once, can't get fooled again. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome to being a father. Is there any benefit to trying to game those satisfaction levels? Is that
it's what I'd refer to as a vanity metric, and every business has them, where it's a metric that we share to feel good. Either we share internally or externally or share to investors, but it does nothing to make us better. And so I do think it's worth having a look of, all right, here's our base satisfaction score. How far off are we on this and why? And then tweak accordingly versus like this perpetual push to inflate it. Because that just drives bad behavior where you're not, ideally, you want just the honest insights of what is wrong so we can improve it. It's really that straightforward.
Well, it's time for the deeper dive question as we're winding down. And I, as you know, this is a segment where we take a question from one of our listeners. This is a repeat question because it's not for you, but it's a repeat from a recent interview because it's driver retention related. So I'll start from the top, basically. Today's deeper dive question is brought to you by Carrier Intelligence. And the deeper dive question is, do you have any low-cost recommendations for improving driver retention? Now, before you answer that, I want to tell you this is sort of the summary of the answer from when I asked it recently. It was Kyle Kotke, general manager of Kotke Trucking. And what he stated really emphatically was just that, first, companies got to give a shit, which I'm surprised that didn't get bleeped, but apparently this isn't syndicated worldwide. But I was like, yes, true. Because at the end of the day, none of the other stuff matters if you don't even really care. But, beyond that, he had a couple of good suggestions. Now, realizing I'm talking to a provider of a product to help companies in this area, but what are some of the things that maybe that are just table stakes?
Yeah, make it a metric that's tied to compensation and at different levels of the company. And so at the leadership level, having some sort of metric around either workforce satisfaction or the average tenure for drivers, like on the recruiting team, instead of cost per hire, looking at cost per net add. And really get away from the vanity metrics that you can gain to the core things of what is the thing that makes our business better. Often that requires harder work, but I would say that is the low cost thing, because what gets measured gets managed, and you inspect what you expect. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, excellent. And the tying to compensation, that just makes a lot of sense, because that's where you're going to get the alignment that you're really seeking. First of all, thank you so much for joining me, Max. I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully sometime soon at some upcoming industry events.
Heck yes, it'll be a good time. I appreciate it, Jeremy.
And thanks for joining me for another episode of Taking the High Road. Stay tuned for the next episode as I'm joined by Stefan Truthahn, president of APL Cargo. And once again, special thanks to the sponsors of the show. We really appreciate you. If you're interested in being a sponsor or joining me for an interview, please email Jeremy at takingthehighroad.com. Until next time, thank you for taking the high road.